Yeah, as I was saying, praise the Lord, there's a fellow on Facebook that listens to all my sermons, and he's now posting them on YouTube, which is worldwide exposure. That's a really good thing for the church, so praise the Lord for that. One by one, he's going to put them up on YouTube. He put one yesterday, and in one day, 156 listeners came and listened to that one sermon, and that's in one day, so I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of ministry going out, and that is why we're here. We want to get the Word of God out, the preached Word. Let's stand for our final hymn tonight, and we'll open up to 130, and there's power in the blood. Aren't you glad? There is power in the blood. First, second, and fourth of hymn 130, one of our favorites.
From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, under working power in the blood. Oh, the Lamb. There is power, power, under working power in the precious. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Hey, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come to a cleansing to slavery's tide. There's wonderful power in His blood. Yes, there is. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious. For Jesus your King, hey, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you do daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in His blood. Yes, there is. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Please be seated, church. So glad that there's still power in that precious blood of Jesus. That's why we're going to heaven. It'll never lose its power. Aren't you glad? Wow. I like that third stanza. It says, would you be whiter? Much whiter than snow. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. That's what it is. It's a spiritual life-giving flow from the Almighty. Well, glory to God. Let's grab our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Philippians. We'll sing again afterward. We're switching things up a little bit tonight. Normally, we're in Galatians on Wednesday nights, but the Lord has led me to a particular message for us tonight, so we'll take a week off from our studies in Galatians and look in Philippians chapter number 4, Philippians chapter 4, and I'm really excited tonight because of what the Lord preached to me that He would have me to preach to you. From Philippians chapter number 4, we'll stand for the reading of God's holy word. I want to speak to you tonight, beloved, on the duty of joy. The duty of joy. I find so many of God's people walking around down in the dumps, depressed, discouraged, defeated, and the Bible says, rejoice. Get the joy of the Lord and let it be your strength. Didn't say everything's going to be a bed of roses. But He said, let the joy of the Lord strengthen you. Look at me here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat also thee, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I want to speak to you on the duty of joy. Father in heaven, how we thank you for this most incredible passage of Holy Writ. Tonight, Father, I am so grateful that indeed the child of God, who hath received the Spirit of God, forgiveness of sins, and heaven as his home, can and may rejoice daily in the simple fact that he or she is saved, and that forevermore. Lord, we thank you that if anything and everything else in our lives is going wrong, at least we can rejoice in this fact. The Lord Jesus is my Savior. We praise you for it and help us by your Holy Spirit to grasp this truth tonight, Lord, that we may take and apply it to our daily lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Please be seated, church. Now, brethren, joy drives out discord. Notice how our text follows. Text is verse 4, by the way. Our text follows immediately as a remedy in a case of disagreement found in verse 2. You see that? These two ladies were at odds. It doesn't say why. It just says they were not of the same mind. They had a disagreement. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, immediately points them to the joy of the Lord, which could overcome every dispute. Amen? Now, listen. Joy helps us against the trials of life. Hence, joy is mentioned as a preparation for the rest of faith, which proceeds from a powerful prayer life. I want to preach tonight on the duty of joy. In so doing, I'll give you four things, and I'll be done. Four things from verse 4. The first is this. In the duty of joy, I want you to notice the grace commanded. Notice the grace commanded in verse 4. We read, rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, beloved, here in verse 4, Paul is not asking a question. He's not making a suggestion. He's giving a command by the Spirit of God. Oh, yes, indeed. We need to read the Bible and realize that our Heavenly Father is telling us something that He's wanting us to do. Now, Paul makes it clear here that rejoicing in the Lord is not an option. It's not something that we should do if we feel like it, but it is a direct divine command that demands our cooperation. Amen. Don't listen to Calvinists. You have free will. And you can either choose to rejoice or not. Go to Psalm 149, holding your place in Philippians. We'll come right back. But in Psalm 149, here is an incredible passage concerning the joy of the believer and rejoicing in the Lord. In Psalm 149, look with me at verse number 1. Psalm 149, we read, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. That's a good thing to do. And his praise in the congregation of saints. That's why you're in church tonight. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Capital K, it's Messiah. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Oh, I love it because David says, while you're rejoicing in the Lord and praising him, have your Bible handy. And use it regularly. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 12. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to rejoice in him always. Look in Romans chapter 12. I love this chapter. It's so practical. Amen. Exhortations to the believers at Rome. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What's the next word? rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. It's a command repeated here in verse 15 for you and I to rejoice with them that do rejoice. Oh, beloved, do you know the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit? What's the second fruit of the Spirit? That's right, joy. Love, joy. It's only second to the love of God shed abroad by His Holy Spirit. That joy is extremely high on God's list of priorities for you and I. And I'm glad we've got it, church. We've got something to be joyful in, you know? We got something to rejoice in, no matter how bad my circumstances might be. Oh, yes, indeed. It's delightful, the joy of the Lord. Our soul's jubilee has come when joy enters in. It's demonstrative, for it sparkles, shines, and sings. It's like a bird. It flies in the open heaven where its music can be heard of all men. If you've got the joy of the Lord, people know it. It's stimulating, for it urges its possessor to brave deeds. It's influential, as it attracts sinners to the Savior. Someone said, more flies are caught with a spoonful of honey than with a full barrel of vinegar. Yeah, that's because the honey's sweet, the vinegar's sour. You be sweet and you'll catch more fish for Jesus. It's contagious, as others are made glad by our rejoicing. I don't know about you, but I want to cheer you up. I want to bring joy to your heart. I want to make you rejoice in the Lord. Not in Bob Oliver. I want to make you rejoice in Him. If I've done that, I've done my job. Glory to God. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Flip over quickly. Here is a powerful commandment of God for the New Testament believer. In 1 Thessalonians, look with me in chapter 5. Most of you know where I'm going. Verse 16. Rejoice some of the time. No. Rejoice when things are going good. No, rejoice evermore. Evermore. Paul says by the Holy Spirit that you and I are to rejoice in all things, giving thanks to the Father, doing it evermore. That's all the time, forever. It's our duty, and we're commanded to do it. Someone once said, the calendar of the lost sinner has only a few days of the year marked as holidays. That is, special days. But every single day of the Christian's calendar is marked by the hand of God as a day of rejoicing. Amen? He's saying, every day the true believer can rejoice. The world, you know, maybe Christmas time, maybe Resurrection Sunday, you know. But other than that, they don't really have anything to rejoice about because they're not saved. David, prophetically, pointing to the church age of the New Testament, said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, our dispensation, the dispensation of grace, is the most joyful dispensation in the history of mankind. Because this dispensation has the Son of God as its Savior for those who receive Him. Woo! We got something to rejoice in. It's a grace commanded. But secondly, in the duty of joy, notice the joy discriminated. Back to our text in Philippians chapter 4. Notice the joy discriminated. He says, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, Paul here distinguishes and discriminates this joy of the believer from all other possible joys by these three words, in the Lord. Now, we have the incredible privilege, beloved, above all peoples of this world, as God's people, to rejoice in Him, Jesus Christ. No matter what my circumstances and conditions might be, I can rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because He doesn't change. Oh, my circumstances will change. I bank on that. They'll get good, they'll get bad, they'll get better, they'll get worse, my circumstances. But my Lord never changes. I can always rejoice in Him because He's immutable. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen now. We don't rejoice in material possessions. We rejoice in the Lord. We don't rejoice in lottery tickets. We rejoice in the Lord. We don't rejoice in anything that is of this evil world. But we do rejoice in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10, the man of God said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." It's not my joy. It's somebody else's in me. That'll preach. It's not my joy. It's the joy of the Lord in me by His Spirit. Woo! Luke chapter 10. Hold your place again in Philippians. In Luke chapter number 10. You know that Jesus rejoiced, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Look at it. In Luke chapter 10, look with me at verse number 17. 17. And the 70 disciples returned again with what?
Joy.
Saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." There's something to rejoice in right there. Time out. Amen? Those demons that harass you and I, we've got power over them in his name. They must flee. 18. And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power." Dunamis. That's explosive power. "To tread on serpents and scorpions," those are demons, "and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits," the demons, "are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Why does he say that? Well, maybe you'll have a day where the devil gets the best of you. Anybody else have their hand up where that's happened to? Oh yeah, we all do. Sometimes the enemy gets the best of us. We have what we call a bad day, right? But that doesn't matter, because Jesus Christ says you can rejoice even when you may be discouraged in the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Woo-hoo! That can't change. Devil can't change that. Cheer up. We're giving spiritual warfare classes. And those who are interested can learn the spiritual warfare techniques on how to come against the enemy. And that's great. To know spiritual warfare is wonderful. Great weapon of the believer. But that's not what we rejoice in. We rejoice in the fact that our names are written in heaven. This joy of the believer is manifested in three ways. First, in God the Father, because He has adopted us, we're God's kids. Two, in God the Son, because He hath redeemed us, we're saved. Three, in God the Spirit, because He leads us and guides us and indwells us. Oh man, we're so blessed we can rejoice. Go to Philippians chapter 3, beloved. Philippians, look at chapter 3, verse 3. Paul says, "For we are the circumcision." You know you've received the circumcision. Yep, even you ladies. Because it's not physical, it's spiritual. "For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." You know it's true. Your inner joy is Jesus Christ. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's not your kids. It's not your grandma. Though we love those people. Our true rejoicing and joy is found in the person of the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. 1 John. Flip over to 1 John real quick. We'll see it again before we move on. In 1 John chapter 1, look at this amazing passage. I won't take the time to read it, but verses 1 through 4 shows us by the Apostle John where true joy comes from. This the world does not comprehend. Look at verse 4. John says, "And these things," this is 1 John 1, 4. "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Oh, do you want more joy of the Lord? Read 1 John, the first epistle of John. You will come away from the study of that book full of joy. It's all about the assurance of the believer. And the assurance of the believer brings joy. Because I know that I belong in heaven with my Lord Jesus, and I'll be there one day. Amen? Oh, it's a great thing. But notice that this joy is in the Lord. It's a discriminating joy. It's not just in any old thing, but in the Lord Jesus. Henry Array said, and I quote, "The carnal man will quickly agree to rejoice in his worldly pleasures
and even find happiness in going from one cheap thrill to another. But oh, how quickly will he shut his eyes and close his ears and flee with all speed when it is added, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, they want to rejoice. They want to party and whoop it up and have a good old time, but not in the Lord. They want to do that in the world. You see that? That is the difference between the lost man and you. Think about that one. Let that sink in. You've got a joy that they know not of. Psalm 4 verse 7 says, Thou, Lord, hast put gladness in mine heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. It's in him and nothing else, David said. The Lord gives me my joy, not the things of this world. All right, we've seen the grace commanded, rejoice. We've seen the joy discriminated in the Lord. But thirdly, notice the time appointed. The time for this rejoicing is appointed. Look at verse 4 again of our text. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. I love it. Paul says we're to rejoice all the time. Listen. Beloved, when you cannot rejoice in any other, rejoice in the Lord. When you can rejoice in other things, sanctify all with joy in the Lord. When you have not before rejoiced, begin at once without delay. When you have long rejoiced, do not cease for a moment. When you are with the downcast, lead them in this rejoicing. When you are alone and nobody loves you, look up, cheer up, and rejoice in the Lord. Go with me to John chapter 15. Hold your place again. In John chapter 15, Jesus speaks about it, and I like what he says. I love the words in red, amen? You can depend on the Bible. Look what the Lord Jesus said about it in John chapter 15. Look with me at verse 10. Jesus says, here's a key to joy. If you keep my commandments, he didn't say Moses. We got a higher calling than Moses. We keep the royal law, the law of Christ. Amen? That's the law of the Spirit, capital S. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Oh, beloved, what a verse we just read. Do you realize that Jesus just said that somebody can rob you of your joy? Do you know what the devil wants to do tonight? He wants to rob you and 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 me from our joy. Because he knows that our joy in Jesus Christ is his defeat. He knows it. And therefore, he wants to rob it from you. Jesus says in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you. Notice where the joy comes from what Jesus speaks to us. I wonder where we find where Jesus speaks to us. Oh, yeah, yeah, in the Bible. Look it, that my joy might remain in you. That is an indication that it can be taken out of you. Didn't say you lose your salvation. He didn't say that at all. He simply said his joy can be taken from you if you allow it. Jesus says, I want my joy to remain in you, no matter what you're going through. And he wants something else. He wants that our joy may be full. Full! Do you realize what he's saying? He's saying, as joyful as I can make you, that's how much I want you to be joyful. How joyful can Jesus make you? The sky's the limit! Wow! Go with me. Now, listen. Do you know what? The devil wants to rob your joy. But my dear wife came to me once. And I said, yeah, sugar plum, what is it? And she said, honey, we forgot to do this when she came down with her cancer. We were on the mission field at the time, 1997. So it's been about 15 years now. She came down with cancer. And I was like, oh, man, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm on the mission field. I'm preaching the gospel. And my wife gets cancer? And she came to me and she said, honey, we forgot to do something. I said, what? She said, we forgot to thank the Lord for this cancer. I said, what? I said, you're right. And she bowed her head and she started praying with me. And she thanked Jesus Christ for the cancer. And you know what Jesus did? He healed her from it. He healed her from it. He took it. She didn't lose her joy because she had cancer, is my point. Amen? Philippians chapter 4. Go
Go with me to Philippians, back to our text in chapter 4. But look with me at verse 10. Paul says, but I what? Rejoiced in the Lord greatly. That now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul said, I rejoiced not only a little bit, but greatly. Greatly. Because they had sent a love offering to the poor saints at Jerusalem through the apostle. Amen. Now, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, beloved, I'm telling you tonight that this joy is no ordinary joy. This joy, listen to me, it'll carry you through your Christian life. It'll carry you through any trial you face. It'll carry you right to the pearly gates above. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what the apostle writes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, imprisonment, tumults, labors, watchings, fastings. He lists a laundry list of difficult trials he was going through. In verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Paul practiced what he preached. He says, I'm going through all this beating, scourgings, imprisonments, trials, persecutions, stonings, but always, verse 10, rejoicing. I love it. That's what you and I need to do. Always rejoicing, no matter how bad it might get. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, don't turn there. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are counted worthy to be partakers, I'm ad-libbing, of course, of the heavenly calling. Because the Spirit of God and of glory resteth upon you. Peter said you can rejoice no matter what you're going through because the Spirit of God resteth in you. Wow. I am so glad. Did you know that it takes 72 muscles to frown? 72 muscles in the face to frown. But it only takes 14 to smile. Scientific fact. It's easier to smile than to frown. Edward Young said, it is impious in a godly man to be sad. I like that. At a banquet held in Russia during World War II, U.S. Chamber of Commerce President Eric Johnston and American author William White, both strong Christians, listened as their hosts in Russia sang some Russian songs to them. After a while, the Russians asked them to sing an American song for them. So Johnston and White responded with the only song they both could remember, Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam all around the world. And those Russians, they're like, huh? You know what those guys had? They had the joy of the Lord. They had the joy of the Lord. And they might have been in the middle of communist Russia, but they were rejoicing in Jesus Christ. We've seen the grace commanded, rejoice. We've seen the joy discriminated in the Lord. We've seen the time appointed, always. But finally, notice the command repeated. Verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. Look at it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. What? Why in the world would the beloved apostle repeat himself? He didn't stutter. In closing the exhortation, Paul repeats the command. He says it in one verse twice to you and I. He repeats it to show his desire for them to do it. He repeats it to suggest the difficulty of continuing in it. He repeats it to assert the practical possibility of our doing so. He repeats it to stress the importance of remembering its duty. He repeats it to reveal his personal application of it. Again, I say, rejoice. I like the one who said it. The blessed apostle, who had three incredible missionary journeys and suffered like no man had ever lived, except the Lord Jesus Christ. And he could rejoice? Listen, Paul learned to rejoice in all his trials and tribulation. Look at verse 10. Paul says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, this is something you got to learn, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, therewith to rejoice. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound.
Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do you notice the hinge upon which verse 13 rested? It's learning to rejoice in the Lord. Then we find verse 13, oh yeah, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listen, beloved, this is very important you get this in closing. Rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ will cause you to be able to do all things that God calls you to do through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Oh, it's such a divine privilege to have this joy. Flip over quickly to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I love what the Apostle Peter says about it. He had this same joy of the Lord that Paul had. Look at verse number 8. Peter writes of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter says, your Savior, you've never seen him bodily. You've never seen him face to face yet. But believing, you are rejoicing with joy unspeakable. That's indescribable. Amen. It's so glorious you can't put it into words. You know it's true because you experience it. Jude, flip ahead two pages. You'll be in just after the epistles of John. Jude, chapter of your choice, go to verse 24. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, there's something to rejoice in, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Do you realize that when we finally make it to the pearly gates and we're presented by the Lord Jesus to our Father in heaven, do you realize the exceeding joy that's going to take place in us? But he's not talking about the joy that's going to be in us. Look at it again. In the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's the Father's joy in you.
This is so good. I'm telling you, go to Revelation. We'll finish up. Revelation chapter 19. Listen, we can rejoice in him because he rejoices in us. Oh, that'll preach. He rejoices in us and we can rejoice in him. It's reciprocal. In Revelation chapter 19, look with me. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, representing us, and the four beasts, the cherubim, fell down and worshipped God, that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice.
Folks, this is what we're going to do in this day. Look at it. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's why the command is repeated twice. Why? Because it's imperative that you and I learn now to rejoice in the Lord, because then we'll rejoice forevermore in the Lord. Beloved, we are reminded tonight by the Apostle Paul to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. In closing, let me give you this. Some time ago, a poor, despairing man called on a famous London doctor. He said, Doc, I don't know what to do. I have no joy, no peace, no will to continue living. What can I do? The doctor looked at the man and said, I think I have the answer for you. Go down to hear Grimaldi. Grimaldi, the famous clown. He'll make you laugh so hard, you'll forget all about your troubles. All London is in stitches, holding its side, laughing so hard because of him. Just then, the visitor straightened himself up and said, Doc, I am Grimaldi.
I am Grimaldi. Grimaldi could make other people laugh, but he had no joy. He had no peace. He had no security. Why? Because he didn't know the Prince of Peace, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grimaldi needed someone else's joy, just like you and I do. Doc, I am Grimaldi. My message tonight, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, the duty of joy. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight. Lord, that we are reminded directly by the Spirit of God through His Word that no matter what my situation might be, oh Lord, it's so good to know that my peace and joy is not of this world. It's not of any person in this world. It's not of any circumstance or condition in this world. It's extraterrestrial. It's celestial. My joy is in a heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, where my Jesus dwells and sits upon the throne. Lord, I'm so glad that I can rejoice in you always, because you change not. You're always faithful, always loving, always forgiving, always kind, always gentle, always wonderful to sit before and adore and worship. We love you tonight, Lord, and I pray you'd help many of the saints, not just here in church tonight, but many of the saints of God around the world who may hear this message via the website, to learn to rejoice in Christ Jesus always. And again, I say rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals. Tonight we will sing, in closing, in hymn of invitation. And if you need to hit the altar, feel free. You may just want to thank the Lord for the joy that He gives you. You may just want to do some business with the Lord at the altar. But whatever it might be, I'm so glad that one day we're going to gather together at the river above. And what a joy it will be. Hymn 88. Hymn 88, and we'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth. Praise the Lord for this old hymn of the faith. let's get the right song number here, folks. Hymn 29. Oh, there we go. Yes, indeed. Shall we gather at the river? Yes.
Shall we gather at the river? Lord, my angel be abroad. With thick crystal tide forever, flowing by the throne of God.
One more on the fourth. For souls are at the altar doing business with God. If you feel led, feel free. Whatever the need might be, the altar is open on the fourth.
Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage shall see. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace.
Beautiful river, gather with the saints and the river, that flows by the throne of God.
that day is coming. Brother Mark, dismiss us in prayer. Miriam's got something.
Don't forget to pray for that old lady who told me that she would have you pray for Anne.
Yes, and in your prayer, pray for Anne. She needs prayers right now. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus Christ, make sure that Anne is safe and sound, and that with your precious heart, Lord, that we came up here tonight, and there was so few of us tonight, we need more people in our church family, and may we have a safe trip home. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. See you Sunday.